Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, we started off the week, as always, shaking the Monday morning blues with our due time crew, and the conversation was some kind of one. Well, first of all, we had all the due time crew in full effect yesterday. Yeah, I said it yesterday. Yesterday. And we talked about the things you should never say on a first date. Now, you know, we were in the quest of helping you get through this, you know, I hate dating. Oh, I'm so glad that that's behind me. I hate dating, and it is a difficult thing. And sometimes we say some things that are pretty careless, and other times we say things that are just insensitive. And yesterday, we started off talking about, you know, someone who was on a date, and she was on a date that she thought was, going so well. And then all of a sudden, he comes out with, wow, it's good, you know, you didn't get anything in your teeth, because it would be like, whoa. And he made like a buck tooth gesture. Now, come on, people. Really? Are we really, really going that route where we're sitting across the table and we're insulting the one we have decided to take out? Yeah. Well, you know, that wasn't the only dumb thing you can say on a first date. What about the one, would you like to go to the strip club? Oh my goodness. Yeah. It gets to be a bit much, you know. What's the worst thing you've ever done? Now that one was a little split. It wasn't unanimous amongst the due time crew. You know, a couple of people said, no, I'm not asking that. But the majority said, oh, yeah, I'm asking that one. And I happen to agree. You know, listen, I may not ask that on the first date, but you better believe that's coming up nice and early. I need to know, you know, if you're honest, yeah. And if they tell you, that means that there's some kind of honesty that's going on with them. Or maybe they want to see what you'll do, how you'll respond. Yeah. But I would say, hey, ask the question, okay? And what else? trying to find the ones that we asked about. But if you can't think of anything else, or maybe you remember. Yeah, I don't. But maybe you do. But all I know is I looked over this list last night again. And, there is definitely a part two to this. Because some of these things that they have on this list, oh, no. Oh, we've got to bring them up. Because, you know, as crazy as it seems, you know, listen, these questions came from somewhere. Oh, yeah. Yeah, ain't nobody made these up out the sky. Mm-mm, you can't make this stuff up. So, God spares. Tune in next week for the continuation of the things that you do not say on a first date. Okay? Alrighty. Well, we could not finish out a Tuesday without getting our switch tip for the week, right? Alright. Well, yesterday's switch tip, and I believe it was switch tip 62, get to healing! Now, a lot of the things that you say on the first date is because you may not be healed from a previous date. And if you are not healed from a previous date or someone you have dated, yeah, you need to stay home. Don't be going out on no date. Now, I mean, that could be for you or him, him or you, he or she. It doesn't matter. You can't move on in life properly if you do not heal. Yeah. There's no discipline. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times we don't think these things matter. We don't think these things are connected. But they are. Yes. And that switch tip was, like, on point yesterday because, you know, it's the fact that we don't heal or we haven't healed is really the answer to many of our issues. Yeah, you know, somebody hurt your feelings, so now, you know, you're taking it out on everybody, or someone did you wrong, so now you're going to snap at everybody else to make sure that no one has come behind them who's going to do you wrong. And I don't even mean in an intimate relationship. I mean this period. You know, so have you done any healing? Have you positioned yourself, which is the biggest point Shanti's made yesterday, positioning yourself to be healed? Yeah, because you may want the healing, but if you don't position yourself to be healed, then you just might be in some trouble. And you won't get the healing that God wants you to have, and maybe you may even want. Yeah. So go back and listen to yesterday's episode because it was quite interesting. Okay. All right. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Yes. We have the pastors in the house today. And we got some nice conversation. Okay, so you need to really get settled. This is going to be a good one. Make sure you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend. And make sure you get settled. Because we are really going to have a good time today. Yeah, got some conversations for you. And what are you going to do? You going to miss it? Oh, absolutely not. So come on. I encourage you to get yourself together so that we can get our day jump started together. Alrighty? Alrighty. So give us a second and we'll be right back.
Every day, signs warn us of danger. But often, hepatitis B won't give you a warning. Hepatitis B often doesn't cause symptoms, One in 12 Asian Americans is infected with hepatitis B, and most don't know it. In fact, hepatitis B is the number one cause of liver cancer among Asian Americans. Hepatitis B is a virus that is most often spread through infected blood. It is not spread through air or by sharing food or utensils. If left untreated, it can lead to serious liver problems. Testing is the only way to know if you have hepatitis B. Talk to your doctor today about getting tested. Treatments are available that can save your life.
Good morning to you, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Yeah, God has brought us safely through another week, and we're here to share this Tuesday together. Yes, how are you this morning? Okay. Are you just getting up? Okay, so, you know, once we start this conversation, you're gonna really start perking up. So I advise you to get yourself together so we can have this chat. Okay, so get those pens. I'm about to give you some real good information right now. Okay? Yeah. It's about something that a lot of people don't pay attention to. All right? So let's get started. Ready? All righty. Let's get started in our conversation. We're talking about oils today. Oh, yeah. Oils, yeah, you know, over time, you know, this past year, you know, you hear about the best oils for this and the best oils for that, and I came across a list, and I thought it was really, really a good one. So, let's get to seeing which oils are the best ones, okay, or what's best for which thing we want to do. You know, we put oils on our salad, we put oils when we're frying, we use oils when we're baking. So let's find out what's the best usage for oils, okay? All righty. So they say extra virgin olive oil. Okay. And there's no use of any chemicals in olive oil. Okay. And they say depending on the variety of olive oil, it can range from a yellow gold to a deep green. So don't get scared. Don't get scared when you see, you know, a different color. They said you should add this particular oil to your dressings or use for salads or vegetables like we were talking about yesterday. And they say use it for low temperature sauteing. Okay. And that's the best use of extra virgin olive oil. coconut oil. All righty. They say coconut oils are extracted from dried coconut meat and solid at room temperature. Okay. And they say with the lower smoke point, use it for quick cooking at low temperatures. Or you can add it to baked goods or smoothies for extra creaminess. And it adds, they say, a boost of healthy fats. Now, let me help you understand something about coconut oil. Coconut oil will harden at, like, or let's put it the opposite way. It begins to melt at about 74, 75 degrees. And I don't know about it going in no smoothie, because once it's, and that's even organic. That's even organic, organic olive oil. Yeah, so I don't know about it going in the smoothies, but I did hear that it was very good for cooking. And, yeah, I don't know about that one. But, hey, you could try it. Sesame oil. Okay. They say that it is a great all-purpose cooking oil. Okay. It has naturally neutral flavor, so it doesn't lean to one side or another. They say that it has a rich, nutty flavor. And you know sesame oil. That's what they use to make the wok stuff. You know, fried, stir-fried foods. Yes. Okay. So they say give it a try. Really good. Okay. Now, all of those were your low-heat-resistant oils, extra virgin olive oil, coconut oil, and sesame oil. Okay. Now, you're going to go to your high-smoke-point oils. And the first one they recommend is safflower. Come on. Get it together. What's the matter with you? Safflower oil. Okay. And they say it's wonderful. There's a few different versions of this oil. And it's a high polyunsaturated fat. And it helps to, you know, keep it great at cold temperatures. And you can use it for dressings, cooking, roasting. Yeah, they say it's really good for those purposes. So use some safflower oil. Now, try it, you know, for those of us who don't mind trying some new things. And vegetable oil, which is most of our go-to vegetable oil, they say is great for baking, and of course we know for frying. It is definitely a high smoke point oil, one of the best ones you can really use to cook with. Okay, canola oil. Excuse me. Canola oil. And they say it's great for deep frying. Mm-hmm. They say you can also use it for sauteing and baking and dressings and sauces. And it doesn't add a lot of flavor, so it won't, you know, turn your food into a specific flavor. It's a lot like olive oil. When you use olive oil, you don't even know that you use olive oil. You've used it because it's light, very light. Okay. Sunflower oil. Okay. They say sunflower oil is high in vitamins and minerals. Yeah. Okay. And they say because it's a higher smoke oil, you can use it for roasting and frying. Great choice, they say. Okay. And they say it gets sunflower oil gets hot very quickly. So you're going to have to be really careful. And if I remember correctly, sunflower oil is what I think they use for the deep-fried turkeys. Yeah, because of the high heat ability, and that's what it's really needed for that deep-fried turkey. Avocado oil. Okay, avocado oil. They say it's great for roasting and searing, and it does add an avocado-ish flavor to your dressings if you should decide to use it. Okay. Now, they're giving us some points on discarding or storing our oil. Well, if you have ever lived in a home, you know one thing that you don't want to do is throw your oil down the sink. Oh, my. What a mess you will have, especially if it's the wintertime. Yeah, and coconut oil, they'll tell you, don't put, you know, if you are going to use coconut oil, make sure you use coconut oil, like down the drain, like some people use it in their hair, or some people use it to gargle with. They say spit it in a bag. Do not spit it down your drain. Why? Because I just got finished telling you, it begins to melt at around 74, 75 degrees. So if you are on the opposite side of that, oh, your drain is getting clogged big time. Yep. Because it's going to harden on you. Okay, so let's make sure we definitely get that in our brains. We don't want to put any, especially that oil, down your drain. They say it's best to store it in a dark place, such as your pantry or cabinets. Okay? So there you have it. And they're not, excuse me, they're not giving in any preferential order. Okay? But the best oils to use for low heat resistant, extra virgin olive oil, coconut oil, and sesame oil. If you want to go for the high smoke point oils, safflower oil, vegetable oil, canola oil, sunflower oil, and avocado oil. Okay? All righty. Now, what are we going to talk about first? Let's talk about it Tuesday, right? Okay. So let's talk about the former Marine who's been accused of setting his wife on fire right in front of the children. Yeah. It's bad enough he set the wife on fire, but then now you're going to do it in front of the kids? Mm-hmm. Now, here we have another domestic order issue, you know, domestic violence going on. And it says that she had repeatedly called the authorities on him. And she was only 27 years old, young, only 27 years old. And he is now resisting bail. Now, this is what makes this story interesting. He's resisting bail because he's concerned for his safety. Yeah. Now, imagine that. You just got finished setting somebody on fire in front of the kids, but you worried about your safety. Now, he punked his way out because he set her on fire. He set himself, he poured gasoline on her. He set her on fire. Then he set himself on fire. Yeah, but the punk jumped into the pool to douse the flames. Okay, and somebody found him like down the road in the bushes somewhere and ended up getting him some help. And, of course, he didn't tell that he had just set somebody else on fire in front of the children. And they were all under the age of 9. Yeah. Now, you're a former U.S. Marine, so you've seen some things. You've been through some things. Yeah, these people are sick. Sick, sick, and more sick. Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. You know what kills me about people who commit these crimes? They are always the biggest punks. What do you always hear when they kill somebody? Oh, well, then they went and it was, you know, suicide, murder-suicide. Listen, if you all that bad, go and do the time. Don't, what are you running and in the corner and now you're going to shoot yourself? Yeah, they're punks. So unfortunately, the three babies are left with their family. And, you know, they'll never be the same again. They don't have a mom. And now they'll know, because people are going to have to tell them. People are going to have to tell them that, hey, you know, this is, you know, your dad killed your mom. Because he's going away forever. Oh, you better believe he's going away forever. So now they don't have a parent. And they're with family. So thank God he didn't do anything to them. You know, because they do that too. Okay? All righty. Well, on to some other stupid stuff. We're going to talk about the stupid stuff today. There's a TikTok trend of stuffing garlic up your nose to relieve congestion. And the doctors say it's an absolute terrible idea. So here's the plan. The plan is I stick cloves of garlic up my nose, raw garlic, and I leave it there for 20 to 30 minutes. And afterwards, they say this thick stream of mucus comes out. Oh, and I really want to see this. What happened to old-fashioned congestion medicine, or, you know, inhaling some Vicks vapor or something like what? Well, listen, the first thing is the TikTok craze is definitely for the younger people. So now you see who's doing all this stupid stuff. Yeah, so the doctors are saying that it's actually more harmful than helpful. Okay? They're saying it's definitely not a good thing to do. And some people have claimed, oh, it's worked. It's worked for me. Once that, you know, whole thing of the mucus comes down, I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm not congested anymore. And then you have the other ones who say, well, I'm not congested, but I just want to do it for the fun of it. This is why you cannot start crazes. Because as much as it may even be beneficial, let's say for argument's sake that it was beneficial, you'll always have these stupid people. Yeah, I'm saying stupid. You'll always, because it's stupid. It's just plain stupid. Who will go out and just do it for the fun of it, not thinking how it can actually harm you. Okay? And the doctors are saying that the garlic, that raw garlic, is not good for your nostrils or like against the human tissue. Not like that, not for 20, 30 minutes, okay? And they say it can actually have a reverse effect where it might irritate your nostrils and make your nostrils less effective. Yeah. So in other words, it won't be able to do what it has always done or what it's designed to do, because now you done messed up your nostrils. Okay? And they say if you make a habit out of it, that it could actually cause inflammation in your nostrils which can cause bleeding and thin out certain components of your nostril. Okay? Come on now. Now, they're also saying that there's a nutmeg craze. You know, people who consume nutmeg in high quantities. Are you ready for this? If you consume a high level of nutmeg, it'll make you feel high. Oh, my gosh. What is wrong with these people? Yes, it will make you feel high. They say, but what they're not saying is it can also cause you to become comatose and maybe even kill you. Okay, first of all, let's talk about this thing for a minute. Everybody's body does not react to the to everything the same way. So what makes you feel high is actually putting other people in a coma and possibly killing somebody. Okay, well, they're also talking about the salt challenge, where people use a huge amount of salt. And they say that that can be poisonous if it's eaten too much in a short frame of time. Yeah, I tell you. Well, I remember years ago, this is why I say everybody can't do everything. I remember years ago, I told you that in one of my first jobs, I used to work in Bronx Children's Psychiatric Center. And I remember one morning, now, the ages were like from 4 to about 13. Nobody was older than 13. And there was a little girl. She had to be maybe about 9. And we were eating breakfast. I'd taken them to breakfast, and we were eating breakfast. And a few of them decided that they were going to put salt and sugar in the cereal. And I told them, stop. That's not, first of all, you don't play with your food. And then two, that's not what you're supposed, that's not how you're supposed to eat the cereal. You're not supposed to put salt and sugar in your cereal. So I tried to stop them from doing it, but it was three of them, two boys and this girl. Well, when we looked over, she was having a seizure. Yep. She was having a seizure. The boys were fine. Nothing happened to them. Nothing happened to them. The boys were fine. And, So, we see from there that everything does not affect everybody in the same way. So, you know, we cannot, please watch your children, your grandchildren, you know, friends and family, because this stuff that they're doing is so harmful to you. And if it does not hurt you one way, it'll hurt you in another way. I can't even imagine putting some garlic cloves in my nose for 20 to 30 minutes. I can't imagine eating a whole thing of nutmeg because it makes me feel high. I can't imagine doing this salt challenge where I'm eating up a bunch of salt at the same time. Now, I'm trying to figure out what would that do? So you have a salt challenge to do what? Are you serious? That's not going to have an adverse reaction on your body? I don't know. I don't know. Let's talk about it Tuesday. Have you heard of a craze that people have done and now you're like, really? Really? 347-285-7777. Hit us up with whatever craze you've heard of and help to warn our listeners to watch our children, our teens, you know, young people. You know, come on. We got to keep an eye on them because things are not going well at all for them. They are just way, excuse me, they have way too much time on their hands. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Ed. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
How are you doing? I'm good.
I'm okay, thanks. How are you? I'm glad to hear that. Now, nice. Pastor Ed, we got some things we want to talk about. Well, first of all, what's your favorite oil? Cooking oil, food oil?
Olive oil.
Okay. And I can figure out why, but why? I'll let you tell everybody.
Well, just mainly for what I'm told are the health benefits. I mean, I like it also, but my goal is, you know, to use a healthier, lighter, more nutritious oil when cooking food.
Okay. And that's what we've always heard. It's a much better, healthy alternative to using some of the other oils. Mm-hmm. So, let's switch gear. Let's talk about this U.S. Marine, ex-U.S. Marine, who set his wife on fire, set himself on fire, but jumped into the pool. And now he does not want bail because he's afraid for his safety. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, usually you find that abusers like that have cowardice in them, and they usually find someone that they consider weaker or that they can victimize. And so, I mean, you see a clear example. Now, he can set someone on fire, traumatize these children, but now he's worried about his safety after he's murdered someone horrendously and in cold blood. So it's just par for the course. It just, his cowardice is showing. You know, he obviously has some issues, but cowardice.
Wow. As an ex-military man yourself, you know, a lot of these people are disturbed when they, you know, when they come out of the, you know, of the time that they serve in the military. Correct?
Yeah. You have some of the individuals who served in combat in some highly volatile, violent situations. Many of them do have concerns and issues, but usually it's because of the compassion that they have, and maybe they were required to do something that violated their moral code, you know, in the actions that they took. But this individual, obviously there was something in him anyway for him to attack. I'm assuming this was, you know, his wife or significant other, you know, in such
his
a violent
wife.
Way.
Mm-hmm.
His wife. So he had some issues working in him, and that cowardice is not something that he would have been trained to, I guess, develop in the military. So he had some issues working in him probably prior to the military and while he was in the military as well, and obviously afterwards.
Wow. So let me ask you this. Have you found that, or have they found, not you personally, but is there anything that says that if you already have issues when you go into the military that you actually can become worse?
Well, yeah, that, we do have, well, you know, I work with Benefits and Service Connection. So there is something we call aggravation. So if there might be some evidence of you already having a particular condition, maybe you were able to mask it or conceal it, but then when you get into, mind you, when you're serving in the military and you're in a combat situation, you're talking about high-stress situations where you have
right.
to make split-second decisions, your life is in danger, the life of your team is in danger. And so many times these anxieties, these traumas, these stresses can take you over the edge. Maybe you were just, you know, minor, mild, with whatever your condition is. But then when you get in those highly stressful situations, time after time after time, it may take you to the breaking point or trigger or push that particular trigger that, you know, takes you to a place you don't want or don't need to be.
Wow. And then that can possibly spill over when you come home to your family.
Right. Mental health treatment is probably one of the larger areas within the VA system of care. But what we're finding overall, a lot of research is finding, is that the American public in general just has there's a large mental health issue and the problem is because of the stigma attached to it, as we say, many people either don't seek treatment or, you know, it's masked over as something else because, you know, people don't want to be embarrassed by admitting that they're having some type of mental challenge or psychological challenge. And so you have a lot of untreated people walking around just waiting, you know, so it doesn't even have to be in combat. Maybe they get into a traumatic situation on the street or in traffic. In Houston, you're having a lot of road rage shootings. So you never know what's going to be that breaking point. So you have a lot of people that are ticking time bombs walking amongst us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I remember having a conversation with a cousin of mine. And, you know, there's mental illness in the family. And she, you know, I guess she had been behaving a certain way. And she said to someone, well, I know I got a problem, but I ain't going to, because I said, you know, it, you know, we do have mental illness in this family. And it looked like it has definitely fallen on her. And the person said, well, yeah, she said she knows that something is wrong. But she's not going to take, you know, to get anything, to get it addressed. And I was like, good Lord, how many people, like you said, are really walking around like that? And you know there's a chemical imbalance going on. And you refuse to get help. Oh, and like you said, this is why I tell people, stop arguing with everybody. Because you don't know where these people are mentally. You know, now you're out there, you know, you're responding in a certain manner, and you're just going to happen to be the one who gets it that day.
That's
so
right.
You're absolutely right. I've heard for years that, you know, there's just this unaddressed issue of mental illness. And we know, especially in the church, you know, they don't want to talk about any mental illness going on in the church. They just push over in the corner and they're going to pray over you and all kind of stuff. But yeah, it's serious. It's definitely serious. So, well, thank you for indulging me in that part of the conversation. We have this TikTok craze with the putting the garlic up your nose, and they even have a picture. This is pretty graphic, but it even has a picture of one side where she has the garlic cloves stuck up her nose, and then the other side where the mucus is coming out very heavily. And
yeah,
you know, this is the remedy to congestion. And then you go into the nutmeg challenge, and where you take all this nutmeg and now you have a feeling of being high. And the salt challenge, which I really don't understand that one, you know, just eating a high level of salt at the same time. But, you know, what is this saying? Again, mental illness, because you cannot be sane in order to do this stuff here. What's your thought?
Well, okay, first off, it's interesting. That thing with the nutmeg, I remember in the story of Malcolm X when he was in prison and trying to beat his drug addiction. That was something that one of the inmates who became his mentor gave him, nutmeg, to help, almost like methadone, to help wean him narcotic. So I'd heard that before. Unfortunately, I saw a brief on the garlic last night, and it was gross watching the videos of it. But what it speaks to is so many people lack purpose. They lack uniqueness. No, they don't lack it, but they're not following a productive purpose or assignment in life. So, you know, they're just kind of like, as they say, they call them sheeple. You know, they just follow any fad that may get them attention or that may be popular, that they think every, and a lot of it is because of mental illness. A lot of it is because of purpose unfulfilled. You don't have anything constructive or productive, or you've not adopted anything productive to do with your life. So you're just all over the place. So when these sometimes idiotic fads come up, people just follow them because they think that's what everyone else is. Like the remember the Tide Pod Challenge where kids were eating? I mean, come on.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. They were eating the Tide Pods?
Yes, and of course getting sick because there's toxic ingredients in you know,
wow,
in the Tide. Just, it's, you know, it's kind of the way society's going. And, of course, while social media can be helpful in many ways, it also can be detrimental because it gives people access to foolishness maybe they wouldn't have been able to access as easily pre-social media and the communication age that we have now.
Wow. Wow. Well, Pastor Ed just introduced another craze, and that's the children eating the Tide Pods. Oh, my gosh. Listen, if you've heard of a crazy craze, 347-285-7777. Hit us up and let us know about what you've heard of. Okay? All righty. Thank you, Pastor Ed, for joining us today. Good to have you with us. And
thank you for
we'll be back. We'll be back. Where's my girl, Pastor Charlene? There she is. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay.
All right.
I'm okay.
Well, are you okay after our 15 minutes last night? Yes, we started our little 15 minutes moving last night, and Pastor Charlene joined us in her achiness. She was on her feet for a while. And we started off, you know, mildly. We did 15 minutes, and we did 5 minutes or so of warm-up, and then we did 15 minutes of moving. And we couldn't load the video to do a little exercise video, but Pastor KL, he sang for us. I tell you, only the Due Time crew. Trust me when I tell you, only the Due Time crew. Pastor KL sang for us, and I guess those were his favorite gospel hits, Pastor Charlene. And we just moved. So how you feeling from last night?
Ooh, I'm still trying to move away.
Okay. Oh, my. But you did well. You did well. And that's fine. It's fine to, you know, go lay down, you know. It's good you were able. Thank God you were able to do that little movement. So we're going to give God thanks for whatever you were able to do. So
yes,
so those for those of you who want to join us, give Shantice a hit, 347-285-7777. You have to do a minimum of 5 minutes. You don't have to go with the rest of the crew. You know, if they go a little longer, it's okay. You can, you know, do the 5 minutes and, you know, sit down. I'm trying to figure out, did Pastor KL really move last night? I don't think he did, Pastor Charlene. I think he just sang. Because ain't nowhere in the world you're going to be able to sing like that and you're moving. I don't think so.
He was just moving his arm.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll take that. I'll take movement of anything. So, Pastor Charlene, what's your favorite oil that you're using?
Extra virgin. I use extra virgin oil. That's my top pick. And I also sometimes use what's that other oil? Vegetable oil. I had to look at the list. Vegetable oil.
Okay.
But mostly extra virgin oil.
Okay. All righty. And why?
Because it's lighter. I like the way that when I saute, I like that, you know, and you don't have that oily taste.
Okay. Okay. You know, all right. So they got two. All right. So there's two reasons why the Due Time crew uses extra virgin olive oil at the top of their list. All right. So, Pastor Charlotte, we're talking about
the church.
No,
besides in church. I said besides in church.
Absolutely. To be oiling people's foreheads. Yes.
There you go.
That's right. All the people's foreheads. All right. So, Pastor Charlotte, we're talking about the ex-Marine who set his wife on fire in front of the children and tried to commit suicide but then changed his mind. He punked out. And then now he's worried about his safety. So he doesn't want the bail. What's your thought?
Well, that was a little close to me because one of my friends, not that he put her on fire, but he shot her in the same kind of way. So with him being a punk, you know, my thought is always, if you're going to kill yourself, why you just don't kill you and leave the rest of us alone? You know, that was always my thing, you know, and being a survivor, you know, of domestic violence myself, you know, that touches a little bit. But my thing is, you know what, you don't want bail? They should put him somewhere where fire is all around him and he just sits in the middle.
Oh, my goodness.
You know she was coming. Wow. You know she was coming, right?
Well, my goodness. That's the former life, Pastor Charlotte talking.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Former life.
Yeah.
You know? But give him a Bible while he's sitting there. He can get a Bible while he's sitting there, though. Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't think the Bible wouldn't get much attention, Pastor Charlotte. You got to admit, Bible wouldn't get much attention. There wouldn't be a whole bunch of Bible reading sitting in the middle of flames all around you. But yeah, you it's pretty nervy to now not want bail for your safety issues.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
I think that he should have known already that somebody's always, but when they don't get you outside, they can get you on the inside. So it really doesn't make a difference, because if they want you, they're going to get you. Because all family got somebody inside.
Absolutely. And then a lot of times it doesn't even have anything to do with your family. They just come after you, period. So, you know,
even
if you don't have their family in there, there have been people, many people who have been killed because you've done something to children or elderly people. And, you know, there is a standard amongst criminals, imagine, that, you know, you just don't do stuff like that. Well, what about the TikTok craze, stuffing the garlic up your nose, eating the nutmeg so you can feel high, or eating taking that salt challenge? What's your thought? Any other crazes you've heard?
Well, the one that I, not recently, but I thought of the one, remember when they used to, and I still see the kids do it, when they jump on the back of the train and on the back of the bus?
They're not doing that still.
Because they, yes, they are.
Are you serious?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're still doing that on the back of the bus and on the train. And I also, when you were talking about the garlic, I was like, don't that burn? Because garlic will burn you, sticking that in your nose. And then with the nutmeg, I thought of back in our days when we was, well, not me personally, but they was doing the glue. Remember when they were sniffing the glue and getting high?
Yes, I remember the glue, yep.
So I thought of that, and, you know, the salt, if they're going to definitely have high blood pressure and pass out and all of that with the salt. But my thought was that a lot of times the kids say that they do it and some really don't. It looks like they are doing it. And then there's some that want to just be in the in crowd, per se. And so they're followers, you know, and where they're copycatters, you know, and they bring on all of these people in you know, to do this. And it is a mind game. It's a mind thing that they do to each other as for them to be able to go and say that I'm in this in crowd, you know. And it's like any gathering, whole, these crews that they have and all of these, like the Bloods and all of them, you know, it's something that they want you to do because your mind, they won't let you, allow you to think that you should not be doing it and for you to be able to be a part of something.
Wow.
To be a part of something.
Well, well, this is why we need to initiate the conversation of Jesus. That's right, Jesus, all the time, because this blocks, you know, some of that free time in your brain that you seem to have that has you, you know, joining in on getting these stupid crazes going. Thank you, Pastor Charlotte.
And you know,
thank you so much.
I just want to say this last thing. If we were just as the way that they are of getting into these groups, different group things and doing these things, as we get up and be able to take people to Christ, just think about how the overflow would be in this world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I say that all the time. If we were as active and, you know, out there like they are, and we were actually effective like they are, then, man, oh, man, can you imagine the way this world would be? So I agree with you 100%, Pastor Charlotte, 100%. Oh, thank you for joining us today. And we are going to go and talk to our minister, A.J. Good morning, Minister A.J.
Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Good morning. First question of the morning. What's your favorite oil? What's your go-to oil?
Avocado. Avocado
really?
Oil is my favorite now. Yeah. It's nice and light, goes on salad, you know, it's not clogging up my arteries like the dressing, the salad dressing. So, yeah, and it's good for cooking. It definitely cooks well.
Okay. What got you turned on to avocado oil?
Well, you know, all these lists on the show, you know what I'm saying? So I've been listening to the list. So I said, you know what? And I thought before when you would eat salads that if you put salad dressing on it, yeah, oh, you, it's healthy. But a lot of times because of that, the excess amount of dressing, it really wasn't healthy. So
right.
I noticed that I wasn't losing any weight. And then listening to the show, I said, let me go get me some avocado oil, you know?
Okay, okay. All right. So there you have it, listeners. You've got two that use extra virgin olive oil, and you got avocado oil. All right. So what do you think of the ex-Marine who set his wife on fire in front of the three children, started to commit suicide, changed his mind, and now he's worried about getting out on bail because he's worried about his safety? What do you think?
I think he's just straight crazy. And, you know, not that sometimes we don't all hear voices that'll tell us to do something crazy, but, you know, whatever the situation was, whatever the thoughts was, you know, to me it's just straight craziness. You know, if you, and I'm pretty sure, I don't think it was his first time thinking something like that. You know, you need to get help. You know, when you start thinking craziness like that, you know, you need to rebuke your thoughts and go get help.
Big time, big time, big time. And help is out here. Just got to go seek it.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to go seek
mm-hmm.
it. And what about the craze that we got going on? The garlic up the nose, the nutmeg to feel high, the salt challenge. Have you heard of any crazes out there?
Nah, let's go with the relationship challenge. Just cannot
you know
be by yourself.
You know what?
You
I'm
cannot
so done
be
with
by
you.
Yourself. Yeah, some people. Yeah, yeah. You know, they stringing people along. Just got to be in a relationship. Just as dangerous as the garlic. You know what I'm saying? Because they know.
Well,
they
at
got
the end of the day, yeah.
Him. Yeah, they got issues they need to heal. And they keep going from one relationship to the next with all these issues. It did. When somebody ready to go upside your head, then you talk about, I need some time so I can heal. You should have healed before you got into the next relationship. So I'm going with that on today. This is dangerous.
Okay. All right, all right, all right. We'll take it. We'll take it. Because it definitely can be seen as a craze. We can get imaginative over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. Before we finish our conversation, I want to pull up Pastor KL because he's on with us today, listening in the background. Hey, Pastor KL.
Hey, 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 hey.
I just got finished talking about you. I just got finished talking about you, how we were exercising last night, and you were the music inside our head. Thank you.
Did you actually move?
We sure did. We sure did.
Yeah,
did
I was moving while I was singing. I was moving. I didn't move too much after I finished singing, though. I was done for the night.
Oh, goodness gracious. But we did have a good time.
I couldn't hold hands, but I was clutching my heart.
Oh, goodness. We had a good time, and we want to encourage people to come on join us. We had a good time.
Yeah, it was really good. It was great fellowship. I mean, it was really, really good. And then we're doing it for a good cause, to better ourselves. You know, and then just to encourage each other. You know, sometimes, people need the buddy system. You know, a lot of folks want to lose weight. A lot of folks want to do stuff, but they're not disciplined by themselves. So if they see other folks doing it and enjoying this stuff and having a good time, then they'll join in if they know that somebody else is going to be, you know. Sometimes people are afraid of what they look like. You know, but we all didn't care. We were all looking like fools at one point or another. We were all tired. We was all ready. I mean, I think Pastor Shay Shay had laid out about three times and then got back up. I think she was more into the worship than the exercise. Every time I turned around, she had a hand up.
As soon as he changed the song, then she started clapping. I thought she was going to bust out the tambourine. Oh, yeah. She was definitely. Oh, and I just got a hit, Pastor KL, that confirms you were moving. You were moving.
Yeah, I was moving.
They have your back.
I was moving. Yeah, I was sweating too. We can. I'm gonna try to do 10 minutes next time, but that number 7 minutes almost killed me.
It's okay because we got started, and that's why I pulled you up, because you and Pastor Charlene are on, and you know we're not at an hour yet, but you know those small increments of time will build.
Right.
And just wanted to encourage. And bring it up because we said we were going to start yesterday, and it wasn't conducive to some of us to start yesterday. And then we had Teresa, who said she was moral support, so we were happy to have her there.
We're happy
to have her there. And I think
I encourage anyone and everyone, you know, who is trying to lose weight. Not even who is trying to lose weight, who needs to be part of a Christian group. You know, some of us just want to come on to be a part of it. You know, some folks are not a part of anything, and they need to be a part of something positive. I mean, my wife used to go to Zumba all the time, and those of you who know my wife don't need to lose no weight, but just to be a part of it. You know, sometimes just to be a part of it is encouraging by itself. You know, and then, you know, like last night, we worshiped, you know, we had fun, we sang, we, you know, just come on. Don't worry about what you look like, you know, don't worry about what your size is. You know, you have your own personal goal on what you want to lose, and then let us help you. You know, let's help each other. We are our brothers and sisters keeper. So let's encourage each other, and let's move on to do this, because a healthy us is a better us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, Pastor KL. We appreciate you. And we're going to try again tonight. So look
tonight.
Out for us, okay?
Tonight.
Yep.
Tonight. Wow, Jesus.
Tonight. We're going to try to get it to a minimum of 5 minutes. All you got to do is put in 5 minutes. So I'm going to be looking for you on that Zoom screen. All
I
right?
told her 5 minutes
day.
A week.
Oh, no.
5 minutes a
no,
week.
You, no, no. No, no, 5 minutes. We're going to try it again tonight. And you may not be able to because you have something else going on. But you know what? Just be on and encourage us. Just watch.
I sure will.
All right.
Sure
thank
will.
You so much. Have a blessed one.
You do the same. Bye now.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to miss you.
You know, it's, listen, everybody got to do what they wanted to do. Like I said, we could not turn on the video, but Shantice was the timekeeper. Serge and Vivian, they were walking, and I think they were walking their dog at the time. So listen, it's again, it's what you do. There's no requirement or anything like that. But to definitely encourage one another. And again, we're only requiring, there is a requirement, let me take that back, 5 minutes. You got to do 5 minutes, okay? And then, you know, once Pastor Kale started singing, you just wanted to start clapping. I was doing an electric slide, because that's all I could manage to do at a certain time. So, you know, hey, Pastor Ed, you know, when you get a chance, I want you to, at AJ, Minister AJ, you know, just come spend 5 minutes with us. Come spend 5 minutes
okay.
with us. Make some time. Okay. Come spend 5 minutes with us. So each day I'm going to announce, you know, if we're going to be on. And we'll just send 347-285-7777. Send it to Shantice, and she'll make sure you get that Zoom link. And, you know, even if you come on to just, like I said, hum, sing, do whatever. But, you know, just encouraging one another. All righty? So I wanted to let you know that we did complete that task last night, and we did 15 minutes. Everybody lasted the 15 minutes, actually. I don't think anybody wanted to give up. And that's the big thing. That's the biggest thing here. So, Minister AJ, I understand you have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What you got?
Yes, the question is, why do people say that God said, and he ain't say it. God said something that he sure enough didn't say.
All righty. Pastor Ed, what's going on with the people saying God said?
Well, one of the things I found is, you know, people have a tendency to want to exalt themselves and to be more than they really are. They want to appear deep and they're in tune and in touch without doing the requirements to be in tune and in touch for God to empower them in that way. So they prophesy, you know, they're lying prophets. And we saw that all through the scripture, that there were individuals that would get up and say God said when God didn't say it. So it's no wonder to me that we have it today. People want attention. They want to seem important. They want to seem like that they're tapped into something that they're not tapped in. So it's because they want to do it, or it's some, you know, as a manipulation tool, you know. So let me put God's seal on and say God said it, and then I can manipulate and control the people into doing it. So there are a number of reasons why people basically lie on God.
Okay. All right. Pastor Edwin gave it a new twist. He said they lie on God. Ooh, I'm scared of that one. All right, Pastor Charlene, what's going on in your head? What do you see and what do you think it comes from?
I think that it comes from because they want the spotlight on them. And once somebody say, God say, then everybody is going to listen. So they just want to be able to be in the mix of. I've seen it in the church where that it, one time actually it was a battle between two people who said that God said. And meaning where that one would say something, the first person would say it, and then the second person will come behind them and say something else. And my thought is always, you know, just go sit down. Go sit down. You know, because one of the things that they always say about God said, and I'm a big believer that if God didn't tell me, I'm going to just use myself for example, if God didn't tell me about me, how did he skip past me to tell you about me, that something that I know that he didn't give me to do? So as Papa Lion, yeah, I've seen that a lot, Papa Lion. And then it never comes to pass, you know, because some things, you know, you do wait to see if it's going to happen. It don't necessarily have to be that during that time, but, you know, you already know that this person, that's not going to happen in this person's life. Not that God can't do it, but you talking about get up, jump up out that chair right now, and they, you want to walk, you know, and it didn't happen, and you have the people down on the floor. Because I have been in a service where the anointing has been very, extremely hot, and this man got up out the wheelchair himself, and he did, you know, like three steps. You know, he couldn't go far, but he did like three steps, you know, and I know God can do it. I'm not saying that God cannot do it, but you, the person, you already know.
Wow. Okay. Minister AJ, you're the one who brought this topic up. What's on your mind?
Some people think they know God. They want to act like they know God. They have a form of godliness, but they don't know who God is. You know, if you knew who God was, you definitely wouldn't be lying on God. And that's why even sometimes when people try to go to quote the scripture, and I get it, I get paraphrasing, but when nothing you said is in the paragraph of that scripture, that ain't paraphrasing. You just straight missed God. You know, you don't have a relationship with him. And sometimes people want a gift. You get what I'm saying to you? But they don't want to do what it takes to back the gift, or what it takes to have the gift, or it may be a gift that God ain't going you to have. You know, like some people want to prophesy. You don't have the gift. Just sit down somewhere and stop saying that God said. You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, gifts and callings come without repentance. So there you go. And there's some people that literally in church so long, and they think they got God, and they don't have God. Impossible.
Wow. What have you heard, Pastor Ed, some people say that God said, and you knew it was not true?
Well, I mean, oh, God, it's a myriad. I mean, I've watched them tell a group or tell an individual, God said that you're going to do this or this is going to happen in your life. And again, like Pastor Sharman said, God can't do anything. But God has, you know the character of God, and you follow the example of how he moved. There's some individuals that, you know, when I hear them speak this supposedly into a person's life because God said it, you know that they're totally off base. That it's not that it's impossible, but it's highly unlikely that what you said is going to take place in this individual's life. Or they, I've had an individual come and tell the church, if you do X, Y, Z in so many days, God is going to deposit this amount of money, and it's completely off base. It has nothing to do with that particular ministry or the circumstance of the situation. And you know they're just speaking and sometimes playing to the crowd. You know, to get a response, to get them excited and to get attention and sometimes to get their money. So you have to be very discerning and use godly wisdom. And that's where knowledge of the Word of God and spending time with God in prayer, so you get to know God's character and how he operates, especially in your life and the lives of the people around you.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, what's one of the things you've heard, you know, you mentioned something about, you know, the wheelchair, whatever, but something that you've heard someone saying, you know, okay, God did not say that. You know, maybe somebody's listening and, you know, that this will help to, you know, help them raise an eyebrow instead of just believing everything.
One is with that they had told them that they was going to have this house, and that with that, you know, they was going to inherit some money. And first of all, how are they going to inherit the money when ain't nobody die? And then when they they took and said about them getting the house, and this person doesn't even have a job to maintain it. Now, the Lord will, and I'm a true believer of the Lord. The Lord will give you something, you know, and I know that he will make preparations. He will make sure that you have in everything. And I am a firm believer. But when you have somebody that ain't doing nothing, ain't trying to do nothing, ain't even trying to get closer to the Lord, it makes you say, wait a minute. How can they maintain money that they don't have and they still living in somebody else's house? They're not even trying to do anything for themselves. You know what I mean? So.
Interesting. Gotta look at the surrounding situation. Minister AJ, what is something you heard that you figured, oh no, I don't believe the Lord said that?
God said, you my spouse.
Somebody said that to you?
Somebody didn't say that directly to me, but they were alluding all around marriage, talking about marriage. They said, let's pray on it. And nah. You a liar. And the devil is all the way a liar.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, did you say the devil is a liar? Okay.
I did.
Go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
And I was just recently talking to a preacher, and he said it to me. He said somebody came to this church, all white gloves, all the way up their arm, and talking about, you know what? God said you my husband, and you know it. All right.
Wow.
Okay, here we go. Yeah. And I knew it wasn't true because, you know, they just came out of a very toxic situation that they should have never been in. You know, they was trying to mess with somebody who was married. So I know you needed to get healed. You know what I'm saying? You needed to get direction. You need to be sat down somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And get the help you needed. You get what I'm saying to you? And the crazy thing was I was ministering to the person, and, you know, I was trying to tell them, you need to get out of that situation before it ruins you. Now, how you got, you know what I'm saying? And then a week later, you done went from, I'm your BFF to, you know what? I see that you could be my man at any time. And then it went from being a man to, nah, we not doing this. Not today. Not this year.
Wow.
So, yeah,
well,
people,
I have good news for you. I have good news. Pastor Charlene contacted me yesterday.
I'm not messing with Pastor Charlene either.
Listen, she's your partner for over a year. God could have told her. She said she found you a wife.
She done sent me the video, and it was a picture of a clown dancing. You see what I'm trying to say? You see what I'm saying? This is why sometimes I don't believe God, and sometimes I don't believe his people. I love y'all. Sometimes we miss God.
Well, I figured that you wanted somebody that was on your level.
And first of all, that wasn't no real clown. That was just somebody that looked like they just put some stuff on. That don't look like no real clown. Real clowns are smart. Yo, believe whatever you want to believe. You got to be able to structure parties. You got to know a whole lot to be a clown.
Hold on. How do you know that if God sends you someone, that you're not supposed to help them build? Come on, if she didn't know how to put
that.
You said that she's got to know how the makeup wasn't placed properly. Maybe it wasn't. But how is it that you may not be the person to come along and help to build her skill and now teach her how to put the clown makeup on her face and, you know, a structure party and how come that can't be?
Over. because that season's over. We've been
really?
Let me tell you something. We've been project managers too long. From one relationship to the next. That's the word. Project managers. You get what I'm saying?
Wow.
Put the picture up, but you fix people up, and guess what? When the time of testing comes, they only know what you've trained them to do. They don't know anything outside of that. They won't do anything for themselves. So I can't go with that no more. I cannot be a project manager no more. Is God going to send me somebody at this level after being on It's Due Time this long? And what God is doing with me, he ain't sending no quicker picker up. No bounty over here. He going to send somebody who's ready.
Pastor Ed, how do you respond to that? What do you say as a pastor? What do you say? One of your congregants come to you and say that. What do you say?
If one of my congregants comes and says what specifically?
What AJ just said. What Minister AJ just said. I said, hey, how do you know? Because, like he said, you know, the clown didn't look like, you know, the makeup was on properly. They have to be, you know, they have to be at this standard, in other words. They have to be at this level. And I said, well, how do you know that, you know, God may not have someone for you that you need to help build? And he said, oh, absolutely not. No project manager position for me anymore. They have to come to the table ready, willing, and able. What do you say to them?
Well, for me, Morris, you have to, first of all, in your relationship with God, you have to be close enough in relationship with him to understand when he's speaking to you and discern when something is for you. So if in preparing a mate for each of us, God has prepared that person that is right for us. And if it's a situation to where we have to complement each other, that's one thing. But no, God is not going to force something together where we have to make it be. You know, one of the things when you stand before God and you make that commitment to death do us part, for better, for worse, it shouldn't be with the mindset, okay, I'm going to make them better, I'm going to fix them. Yeah, of course, in the relationship, you hope that both of you improve. But it shouldn't be something where I got to make it work for me. I'm going to have to fix them up and patch that up. You know, God prepares your mate for you. And so if there's some things that I lack and she lacks, it's going to be a matter where we're complementing each other. It shouldn't be a matter where the whole entire relationship, I'm trying to patch up holes and fill in leaks and, you know, trying to work. Like I said, there's an amount of preparation that God has put in place because he prepared that mate for me long before I ever met them or knew that they existed or what have you. So there are going to be some qualities and some attributes that I recognize, okay, yeah, we were made for each other, and I don't have to force it to make it work. When you talk about project management, a lot of times because we're not certain of this person, of the person that God sent to us, and so we're trying to make it work and fix it, and sometimes it's just, you know, some houses just have to be condemned. I don't care how much you patch them up.
Wow. All right. Pastor Charlene, how do you respond to a congregant who says what Mr. A.G. just said?
First of all, you don't know what might be on the inside. My thought was that, not using the person that I showed you, but as a person that, you know, she might not have, well, none of us actually have it all together. But she might be willing and trying to get herself to the place and closer to the Lord where that she's able to be, you know, open to where that you're able to help her. But I'm sure you ain't got it all, so she'll be able to help you in some areas where you'll be able to help her. You know, sometimes we always just look at the outside and miss our blessings too. Because if the Lord sends her, you know, because the Lord could tap you on the shoulder and say, you know what, that could be your wife. And then you like, oh, no, because how she looked, you know, and she didn't have a bonnet on. She had a clown hat on. So, you know, that's in common to something that where you are familiar with, where that you might be able to help her. she might have the skills better than you might not see on the outside until you get to know the inside. And just like the Lord, he works with us from the inside out. So where that you be able to, how you proceed and get yourself together and put, and you know, and know the Lord, and also as a businessman, you know, entrepreneur. That's how you say it.
Entrepreneur, yes.
So, thank you. So where that you don't know what she might have going on, where you be able to come together, you know, of being one. You never, listen, don't spot the small things. You never know what you might have. That could be a jewel. And where that she's open to learn in the business and be able to run the business might even be better than you. You never know. So I always tell people, don't just, because you see it, just shut it down. Be able to get to know the person and be able to see what the person is about. And that goes back to yesterday when you were talking about on the first date. You know, sometimes we don't give the person a chance. We just jump up and say no. You never know.
Okay.
You never know.
Okay.
You never know.
All right. So, and not having that that clown makeup on correctly may not have been such a bad thing. Maybe, listen, she could possibly rattle a pot. She don't leave the house with a bonnet on. She don't greet you at the door with a bonnet and a T-shirt. All
well,
that
listen,
other kind
I know
of stuff.
One thing. I know one thing. She wasn't even a clown. I know a clown when I see a clown. I've been doing it too long. That lady was imitating. She wasn't no clown, okay? I know a clown when I see a clown. And see, what we have to understand is we always echo, I'm going to give it to you. We always echo, he that finds a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from God. But when a man finds her, she must already be a wife. Already. That's what, and all that simply means is, you know what, this man chooses this woman to be a wife. It don't mean he in the garden searching and all of that. And he it don't necessarily mean that. It just means he has made this woman his choice. Now, let me give you the acronym that God just gave me concerning my wife. Y'all can go get clowns if y'all want to. My wife. She will be W. She will be waiting. Or you could say she'll be a worshiper. God just dropped that. A worshiper. Or let's go with waiting. She's waiting. She's intelligent. She's already fulfilled in her life, her career, and she's equipped. So we ain't having a whole big training session. She's already equipped. That's my wife. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
See, here's where we need some clarity. Here's where we need some clarity. What is... I need some clarity. What does already a wife mean? So that means that do I have to come to you? And I'm asking, because listen, we're talking to people. We don't know who's listening to this broadcast. We need to get some clarity here. When you say she needs to already be a wife, what does that really mean?
Yes.
Does that mean that I'm coming to you perfected? Or what does can I grow into some things? Or I need some clarity. I need us to clear this up for our listeners.
Okay, so let's clear it up. She can have some areas where you need to improve because nobody comes perfect. But you need to have at least the basic characteristics of a wife. Know what a wife does. Know what a
then
wife.
Then that's what you
be.
Need to say. Then that's what you need to say. That's what you need to say.
What
that's important. That's what you meaning. She needs to have the basic essentials. That's important. That's more important than saying she needs to already be a wife, because that's two different things. That's two different things. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but
because
if you don't know the basic characteristics, you definitely can't be a wife. So
no,
you
listen.
If you don't have the basics,
listen.
If you don't even know the basics
hold on,
of what a wife
hold on,
is,
hold on.
You can't be
hello?
A wife.
Hello. Hello, let's ring the bell. Yep. Ding, 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 ding. I'm not against you there. I'm in agreement with you. What I'm saying is we have to watch our wording. When you first spoke, you said she has to be a wife. So I said
okay.
We need clarity. When you came back, you spoke better because you said she needs to have the basic essentials. And I'm in 100% agreement because you've heard me say a million times, you can't wait to be no wife on the day you say I do. That has to be something that you have been working toward and bettering yourself if that's what you know that God could possibly send you a husband or you've been praying for a husband, then you need to have been getting prepared. You can't wait till now. He putting the ring on your finger in front of the, you know, clergy to now bust out talking about I'm going to be a wife and now you bumbling and stumbling. No, I agree with you. You definitely have the base. You need to have the basics. But that's what we need to say. Because had I left it with, hey, you got to be a wife, then there's no room for improvement. That means that you got to come to the table perfected. That's the way some people would take it, and that's the way I took it. So it's important that we make sure that we push. You need to have the basic essentials of being a wife. Are you out there partying all the time? Absolutely not. Can you cook? Can you fry an egg? I don't understand these women, and I'm going to say it, I don't care who I make mad. How you got married and you can't cook? You can't fry an egg? You can't boil a potato? How? That meant that you were not prepared. Now, your husband is now doing what, cooking his own meals? We have to be getting prepared to be a wife. It has to be some basic essentials. And cooking and boiling water, yes, that's a basic essential. We can't wait to get to married life and then now all of a sudden we busting out. We ain't never cleaned our bedroom. Now you got to have a whole house you got to clean in order to be. No, you got to do and have the basic essentials. I wanted to let Pastor Ed speak because I know he got to get ready to go, and then we'll come back around to you, Minister AJ. But I want to say we're in agreement on your second, the second way you said it. But we have to make sure that when we speak, we can't nail something like that and say, well, you got to be a wife. Because then that gives people a different outlook on stuff. Pastor Ed, what you got? What you leaving us with today on that note?
Well, one of the things we, and I get, maybe it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, we have to make sure that our standards and our process when it comes to marriage as Christian believers, that we're using a biblical or a godly model and not with the world. Because all these shows out here, The Bachelorette, and I'm trying to think of some of the names of them because I don't really watch them because I think they're idiotic, but these shows where people are meeting up at the altar for the first time and they're getting married. We don't
right,
use the
right.
world when it comes to marriage. And so we understand that with God, because we are spiritual beings, you know, that God, there's preparation. God prepares. When we know in the case of, you know, just going back to Hosea, how God was illustrating something, and so he had Hosea to marry a prostitute. But that was for a prophetic illustration,
a prophet.
Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, God prepares your mate for you. And so if you're, whether you're a wife or you're a husband, you should be allowing God to prepare you to whatever degree so that when he places you or you come in contact with that person that you're, that God has destined or ordained for you to marry, you're at least in the place that God intends for you to be. And like I said, in a marriage, we complement each other. We're a partnership. We come together, the two to make one. And so it shouldn't, like you said, you want to be a wife, but you haven't even gone to the scripture, or you haven't allowed someone to counsel you or even the Spirit of God to direct you into what are some of the basics I need to be prepared to do as a wife? What are the basics I need to be prepared to do as a husband? So, again, we have to make sure that if we want a wholesome Christian marriage, that we're following the components and the process and using those things that God gives us through his scripture and through guidance as to what we should be or who we should be when we enter into a marriage or before God.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Ed.
Thank you
for helping us with our church folk segment today. And we pray you have a blessed one.
You too. Everyone have a blessed day. Good talking
thank
with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, same here. Thank you. Pastor Charlene, we got some minutes. What you got?
Okay, one I wanted to say, when you, Minister AJ, was talking about the qualifications of your list, that when you look at the picture, if I was going to ask you to, Pastor Steph, to send it to Pastor Ed so he could see it, also that in it where that she, you can see that she has on the clown suit, but she's at a job. She has a job where she is at a nursing home. In the nursing home, she has the heart of the people, because to work with the seniors, you need to have the heart of the people. And I do know that there are some that don't, but to have the heart of the people, of her making them smile, her making them feel good, you know, so therefore that was one of the things that stood out to me also within that, you know, of that. Actually, it was just a joke, but of that. And so in that saying, as far as a woman being ready and being ready to become a wife, that, yes, one of the things that I had stated in the ministry before, that, you know, we need to have cooking classes, because there's so many of the people that don't know how to cook, don't know how to take care of their children, you know, and of that being the preparation of getting ready to be a parent, to be a wife, you know, and just to be able to think for yourself, you know, like you said, Pastor Steph, of not knowing how to boil an egg. I remember when I couldn't cook, you know, at the beginning. In my first marriage, I had to learn how to cook after I got married, because before I didn't have to do it. So I do know that struggle of learning of how to. So I'm saying that it takes us both to where that, you know, there are some women who don't cook, you know, but the husband cooks, you know, and they'll do something else. So it's a balance that you really want to look for in a wife, too. Everybody's not going to be 100%. You know, I have this thing where I talk about 8%, 8 things, it'd be 10 things you want. 8 of them that she can do, 2 she might can do, or she, 1 she might just don't do. You know, so you got to be able to help, you know. You might cook better than I cook, you know what I mean? So therefore, that's something that we can do together. Grow together of reading the word. She might not read the word like you read the word. You know what I mean? So even in the mix of that, you know, when they come and I have counsel, you know, and let's talk about the faults. Let's talk about their strong points. You know what I mean? You know, in every area, in your personal area, in your spiritual area. And these are questions that you will want to have, as we say, maybe not the first date, you know, but one of the first is, do you believe in God? You know, where are you at, you know, spiritually? I think that's very important if that's the type of lifestyle that you're living, like all of us. That's what we're living. So you don't want somebody that's out of the will, that's, you know, not even trying, you know. And then you might be that person, like you say, that we, that Bible, that will, that they see, you know, and will make, draw them closer to the word. Let me read what a wife is supposed to be. Let me read how the women in the Bible, what they were doing, how they took care of, you know, so certain things like that, that we have to get to the place of being that you, sometimes you got to let down your standards a little bit, because if God says she is the one, so what you going to say? Oh, she got a bonnet on her head, and she got this, that, and the other? What you going to do about that? That's a good question. If God says she is the one, she might need some work. Y'all know how I am. Look, I was rough around the edges. Look, here I am. I ain't too rough no more.
If I have to say so myself. Well, I just want to let you know, for the record, I never looked at the link. I was working, so I never looked at the link. And by the time Anika and I finished, the link was nowhere to be seen on in my eyes. So I didn't know what, I didn't know if it was a person. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was. And I was just joking, actually, when I brought it up today. But Mr. AJ, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. And when you said it was a clown, I was surprised, because I was like, oh, she sent him a clown. I was clueless, completely clueless. Minister AJ, What you got for
us? Yes,
it?
Ma'am.
What you got?
I mean, even with my statement, a lot of times we are looking across the table and we haven't learned what we should be first. And that's the basis
Absolutely.
Of what I'm saying. I was sitting at the dining room table, and this is after I done got married on my way to a divorce and been married for years, and I'm sitting at the dining room table studying, and God says, so many men look across the table but never say, God, what should a husband be? We go into every relationship naming what the wife should be. Or the wife should be blah, 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 or the man should be blah, blah, blah. We never take the time to say, okay, God, what should I be? And that's what I'm referencing. Because if you ask God, and in general conversation, after a while, if you've been around people long enough, you want to hear the basics of what people think a wife should be or what they think a wife should have. So, you know, your ears are open. Definitely if you're in the Word, it's going to be revealed to you. You know. I think sometimes we got to slow down and ask, what should I be first?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm always the one who says you need to be looking in the mirror, letting God change you, not what they can do for the other person. Asking God, how can I improve? Too often, I agree with you 100%, too often we're always pointing the finger and we're not looking and seeing what God wants us to do. Anybody in this congregation can tell you, stop telling me about somebody else. That's off limits. Stop telling me about somebody else. Tell me about you. Have you assessed you? Because a lot of times we're so busy assessing the other person, we miss us completely. And God needs to work on all of us. And unfortunately, that's not something that people are willing to do. We're not willing to do that. And, you know, we always want that person to become perfected. But very interesting conversation today, as always, on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. And I want to thank Pastor Charlene for doing the research and finding a husband and a wife for us. And
I love you.
you know, thank you so much for both of your contributions to today's segment, and I pray that you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Do the same. You do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we've come to the point where we hold hands and we hold hearts and go to the Lord together. Yeah. Find my song. Oh, okay. I'm getting there, y'all. All righty. A lot to we talked about today. And we definitely need to go before the Lord, petitioning for this world as well as for ourselves. And let us hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Thank you for a brand new day with brand new possibilities and brand new hope. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for loving us enough to wake us up today and get us started on our way. Thank you so much, dear Heavenly Father, that we woke up, God, with you on our minds and we're fellowshipping and worshiping and ministering and praising. What a wonderful way to start the day. We thank you for the contributions of our listeners. We thank you for the contributions of our Due Time crew today. And we ask you, Lord, to just place every seed deep down in everyone's spirit. Let us look at ourselves in the mirror and search for a deeper relationship with you. I pray that we hunger and thirst after your righteousness, dear Heavenly Father, that we would not pursue what the world has before us, but we would put our hand on your word, put our heart into your word, set our eyes and ears on your word so that it would be a life changing experience. Thank you so much, God, for introducing yourself to us one more time in a different way. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for investing in us one more time. And I pray, dear God, that the word that you have sent out is resonating. It will marinate and it will fill our lives, that we would serve you the way you have designed us to serve you. Lord, we're lifting up those three children who just lost both their parents, God, who had no say, who was not prepared. And we pray, God, for the caretakers who are now stepping in place, God. And we pray that you just erase whatever amount of that memory that is, it needs to be gone, so that they can live a fulfilling life, God. We pray to Heavenly Father that you would touch that Marine's life, that he would now realize that he needs you, and that he would come with a repentant heart to Heavenly Father, so that he can now change and really feel sorry for the children and the wife, not think of himself again first. Lord, for all of the people who are going through these different crazes, who need to be a part of, who need to get attention, who are bored, who have not applied themselves to anything that would be beneficial to their life, God, we send them to you. We're asking you, dear Heavenly Father, to just wipe away any emptiness that they're feeling, God, that you would raise us up to speak to them more and more, dear Heavenly Father, that you would love them in a special way, that they would feel it, and that they would seek you, and that they would not be a part of all of this going on that the world has put before us. That's fun, and that are remedies, and again, to pass the time away. Lord, we're just asking that you build us up so that we can be more beneficial to your kingdom here on earth, God, that we would not be so selfish and looking toward how we can be better, but that we can extend ourselves to this world in a different manner, that we would evangelize and disciple every opportunity we get, dear God. So again, we say thank you for teaching us one more day. Thank you, God, for giving us another level of hope again. We thank you again for giving us and fulfilling those promises that you've made, and that you are a man of your word and you would never go back, and that we would now seek you out to be perfected to the greatest of our ability, so that we can serve you properly. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Ah, we've got so much to be grateful for. So much to be grateful for. You know, a lot of conversation took place here today, and, you know, for anybody that knows me knows, I'm really funny about the way we say things. And I want to make sure we get things cleared up on here, and that we send the proper message in our quest to do whatever God has set for us to do. And again, you know, I definitely advocate for those who don't know. You know, there's always somebody who does know. You know, I always say that the Bible teaches us how to love a man, a woman. But God himself will teach us how to love our man or woman. That we bring our best to the table. And when God has placed it on us that this is the person for us, that we are trusting that they are bringing their best to the table, and together we let God enhance our life together. And there's going to be some weak points, and there's going to be some strengths. No, we're not looking to build anybody. That's not what God, because building is not our job. We're not able to build anybody. We're not able to make something out of nothing. That is God's job. All we are required to do is to bring our best to the table, allow God to work on what we have, enhance what we have, give us what we don't have. And now, as long as our first relationship is with God, then we can't go wrong. We're going to have to trust God. Trust God. You know, a lot of us come to the table, I've heard, oh, I need a man who's got six figures and he need to be driving, he need to own his own house. And I'm saying, but you don't. You don't make six figures. You don't own your own house and you don't drive. Why must he have those requirements laid on his head? Is that what God is telling you, that's what you need? Let me tell you something that I have seen many a time. What we pray for, God gives us just the opposite. God gives us just the opposite of what we want, because he has the makeup in his hands. And just like Pastor Ed brought up, and I thought about it, when Hosea was charged to marry Gomer, who was a prostitute, you know, he used that as symbolism of adultery. Israel's adultery to him, being married to him. However, that may not be your journey. That may not be your plight. But he may have you marry someone because there's an ultimate goal. We can't eliminate that possibility at all. We are definitely going to have to consider, what am I bringing to the table that God needs me to give this individual? What is this individual bringing to the table that I need? You know, we read from the very beginning that women were designed to be a helpmate. But as we see, men don't have everything they're supposed to have either. So, it's a lot to be said for both parties. So I say, you know what? It's funny, we had a conversation over the weekend about there's a ring that I want. And, you know, telling him the ring you want. And I said, no. So then the question came, well, can I suggest it? No. Can I tell my friend? No. What part of no don't know? And here's why. And it's so interesting, because I just got finished talking to someone about their husband's weakness. His weakness is, I'm going to go out and do X, Y, and Z. And he's not the only one. I've had this conversation several times. He's going to go out and do anything to fill the gaps. Not necessarily illegal, but out of the will of God, because his goal is to be a provider. His goal is to make it happen. His goal is to make his wife happy. His goal is to be the man that the world has told you to be. So now here you go with the ring or with the coat or with the house. And now he's out here now trying to fulfill your desire. And yet, when he gets involved in those things, not illegal, but things that are out of the will of God, out of where God wants him to focus, now your marriage and your life together is twisted, because he's trying to appease and fulfill your desire. Now, this may not even be something that God wants for you, but yet that's what you want. And now you've put that on someone else. So now he's chasing his tail, trying to get you what you want. I've talked many times in my conversations with the women, you know, how you didn't harass this man. I need a house. I want this house. Oh, it would mean the world to me to get this house. You go, he gets you the house, and now you're mad because he has to do overtime and he doesn't spend as much time in the house because he has to spend more time at the job to make the money to pay for the house, but now you twist it. This is, we have to be careful of what we bring to the table. We have to be very careful of what we bring to the table. Go to God and ask God, what do you want for me? That's the other question that we don't ask. We don't ask what Minister AJ said. You know, God, what is it that you need me to do? What do you need to fix up in me? And we don't ask, what do you want for me? What do you want? I know you don't want me to build somebody because I don't have that capability. That's not my job. However, what do you want for me? Be careful of what you bring to the table, your expectations, your desires. You know, you can't go to the table with the things that you ain't never had in a relationship before. But now this relationship must have that. I can't tell you how many people, excuse me, converse with me about that. Hey, you know, can I ask God for this? Can I ask God for that? Why don't you just try asking God what he wants for you? Stop taking your desires to the table. Let God give you what he wants for you, because you'd be very surprised at how happy you would be with that. Be very, very surprised as to how happy you would be with that. And sometimes people get exactly what they ask for, and they ain't all that happy. So stop taking your requests to God and, you know, fall back a little bit. Fall back a little bit and let God have the control that he needs to have. And it's just funny that all of these conversations are taking place all at the same time, because that's telling me God needs us to make sure we have this conversation. Somebody is getting something from and has gotten something from this conversation. And that's anything in your life. You know, God knows if you need six figures. God knows if you can, you know, manage with two figures. But because we take our requests to God all the time, because we jump out ahead of God, now we want God to fix up the mess. You know, I went and got this man, and now I'm praying for him, and I'm so tired of praying for him, you know, because he ain't listening, and, you know, he won't do what I say. Did you start off right? Is that who God sent for you? Or is that where you're going to have to sit still for a minute and wait for God to finish doing his work in that person? Because he's going to save you that way. Oh, yeah, God has saved a whole lot of marriages. Now you're going to have to eat from the table that you have selected to sit at. So now you're going to have to wait a minute for God to turn that individual around. And you're just going to have to play your role and let God work on you. Because clearly there was something wrong when you made the choice before God did. So let's change our outlook on things. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me hold down Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us today and listening. And I pray that all of the things that were said will help you change your outlook and go to the Lord in a different manner. Choose Jesus as your personal Savior today, later, right now. Right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where's Wow Wednesday? God spares. I love you.